at work in our lives. In Jesus' name.
I want to greet you, first of all, in the name of our worthy Lord and Savior, the one who brought us out of the miry pit, who set us on a solid rock. And I praise God that I can bring you the Word. And anywhere I go, I want to stick with the Word. Not what I think or what somebody else thinks, but as long as I stand on God's Word and speak what God has in His Word, I don't have to fear if it's okay or if it isn't. You know, we can go out with authority when we stick to the Word. And that's one of the things that I want to encourage you today, is to stick to the Word. I actually had that written down on the end of my notes this morning, to keep our eyes on Jesus, to focus on the one who has given us eternal life, who is the one who will give us direction when we trust Him. We heard this morning already from your superintendent how when he trusted, he was led in helping someone else. Can we see those times as being miracles in our own lives? They certainly are. It's not a coincidence, but it's God's direction through His Holy Spirit. And I want to thank Tom for asking me this morning to bring the message and to share with you a few things from the Scripture. I wasn't sure to whom I was going to be speaking or who all was going to be involved in the pastor's appreciation. Certainly you have a team here that is working together, and I pray that that will continue to be so. And don't forget the one also that is maybe retired in a sense, but he also is one who you can go to and to find real encouragement and direction and much wisdom there. So I would encourage you to bless our brother and sister as they continue to serve in the Lord's work. I assume this morning that I am speaking, first of all, to all believers, to the believers in Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ. Certainly I want to speak to the ministry and the work that they have done, but not just to the ministers, to their wives as well, to their companions. This is an important part. You know, when at the time of the creation, God looked at His creation and He saw that there was something that was missing there until He created the woman to be by the side of the man. And I want to thank the Lord that He has given me that faithful companion that has been with me all these years. And I praise God for that. Certainly I also want to encourage you as a laity, as members. I hope there are none of you here today who are members of the church that are spectators. I want you to be participants. Get involved in the work. Serve the Lord. Not just in your home. Do that in the home, first of all, of course. But take part in the work of the church and be an encouragement to others, because that encourages other people. If you are not a member of the church here, I would also recommend that you line yourself up so that you can be a participant to work in the church, to be part of that church. And there is one other group yet that I recognize that may very well be in an audience of this size, and that is those who have not made a commitment yet to Jesus Christ. If that is you, consider your end. Consider what Christ has done for you, to have died on that cross, to make it possible for you to be a child of His. And certainly you will never be sorry that you have made a commitment to Him. I have not ever met a Christian who said, "I'm sorry I became a Christian. I wish I would have waited another 10, 20 years or whatever." You don't find that. What a guarantee that is. You know? And yet I meet many individuals who tell me, "I wish I would have made a decision years and years ago. I wouldn't be sitting in the jail, or I wouldn't be here in this position or in this problem that I am in now." Brethren, sisters, be faithful to the Lord in whatever He has for you to do. Do it faithfully. Continue to work in His will. I want to remind you, of course, that, to be appreciated, you have to also express appreciation to others. To be loved, you need to extend love. To be respected, you need to respect others as well. Psalm 27, verse 14 tells us to wait on the Lord. You know, it's a temptation of us as leaders to sometimes get in there and get things done a little ahead of time, ahead of the Lord's time. Wait on the Lord. He will lead us in the right way. When we take things into our own hands, so often we make a mess of it. But when we allow God to lead and direct, He will lead in the right way. That's no excuse for sitting back in our rocking chairs and not doing anything. No, that's not what God has for us. When He tells us to do something, get up and do it. Whatever that may be, you know, to share in God's Word. I have three parts this morning in my outline that I would like to look at. The first one is entitled Peas in a Pod. The second one, a parable. And the third one, to look at the Scriptures and to dig deep. And I would encourage you in that last one, you know, don't skim over the top of the, I know that's where the cream is, but maybe in God's Word, the cream is not on the top. I think it's down much deeper than that. We need to dig down into God's Word to find the truth of what He's telling us in the Word, more than just 5 minutes or 10 minutes in a devotional or something of that type. You need to really dig deep into God's Word. Well, first of all, I'm a gardener, and I enjoy gardening. I have a little over an acre of garden, so I have quite a large garden. I give most of the material away that I raise, and I praise God for that. You know, I make many friends by doing that, and I not only have a garden, I also have some a wooded area, and I've made friends with Marge here in dealing with pawpaws. I don't know how many of you know what pawpaws are. I have some out in the vehicle that I want to give to Marge and Tom today, and they may share those with you if you know what they are. Pawpaws are a fruit that they're a little like some members in a church maybe that are in the background. You don't really see too much of them. And I didn't know that I had that fruit back in my woods, but I was talking to a neighbor, and he told me about them and told me what kind of leaves they had and so on. So I went back and looked around, and sure enough, they were there. And so it's been a real blessing to see those there and to partake of that fruit. It's good fruit. But in the garden, I want to just look at one type of vegetable in the garden, and those are peas. You know, peas in a pod, we don't look for just one pea in a pod. We look for a lot of three or four at least. So we want to have a bumper crop. And certainly I want to look at a few of these peas that may be in the pod today in our lives. First of all, I think of the word praise. We're talking about appreciation today. Praising others. Is that pea, is that in your pod? Is that something that is there for you? To praise others, to find things that you can say thank you for, and to remind others for the good things that they have done. And I would encourage you to sincerely praise. Don't flatter someone. That doesn't do any good, because that's probably going to backfire on you later on somewhere along the line. But sincerely praise. To look at that praise and to know what God has done in other people's lives, and to give them a sincere thank you. Another one that should be there in your pod is prayer. Prayer. Do you pray for each other in the church? Do you pray for your ministry? Did you pray for the service this morning? I ask that you continue to pray. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Continue to be in that attitude of prayer. Another one. Patience. Patience. It's difficult sometimes for me to be patient. You know, I like to get things done and get them done quickly. But patience is another one that we need to put in there. Put that one into your life, into your pod. Another one is practicing love. Practicing love. To help others in the church. To help others in recognizing that you really care. There is that need that we all have of wanting what is best for the other person. That's what I use as my definition for love. Wanting what is best for the other person. That fulfills the golden rule as well, you know. When we pray for that other person, wanting what's good for him. Secondly, there's a little story that I read recently of a little boy that was leading his sister up the side of a mountain. And as they were walking up that mountain path, it was a rather rugged path. And as they were going, it wasn't an easy path to go. And his sister popped up and said, "Why, this isn't a path at all." She complained, you know. She says, "It's all rocky and bumpy." And the little fellow said, "Sure, the bumps are what you climb on." And you know how true that is. The bumps are what we climb on. And pastors and team members, you will have bumps in the way. We would like to have a nice, smooth path always, but that isn't the way it is in life. Matter of fact, really, we grow a lot more by the bumps than we do by the smooth path. The person who exercises his muscles makes stronger muscles by resisting a force and going against that. But don't resist that force on your own. Resist that force, whatever it may be, that problem that may come up. Go to the Lord with it. Take it to the Lord and allow Him to work it out. He will work it out in a way that is perfect, a way that is right. When we try to do it on our own, as I said earlier, we will fail. Certainly, the Lord gives us those times of working when we may not know what to do. Paul said, "When I am strong, then I'm weak. But when I am weak, then I become strong in Him." And so we need to have that strength depending on Him. Think of Moses and Abraham and David and many of the other Bible characters. They faced very difficult times. But for those who came through winners, they these bumps in the way led to victory and not to defeat. And so we can also have victory in Christ. And certainly the one who had more bumps in his way than anyone else was Jesus Christ. He faced the bumps of life. He was born in a barn. He came from a little town that everybody, or almost everyone, said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? A little old town like that?" Yes, later in life, there were those who wanted to kill him. Those who refused to listen to what he had to say. Those who walked away from him. And he felt compassion for them when they felt more love for their pocketbook than they did for their Savior and following what he said. And then, as he was in the garden, his friends fell asleep. And another of his friends, that he called his friend, went to the enemy, sold him for the price of a slave. He betrayed him. And yet, in this condition, Jesus met Judas and said, "Friend." He called him friend. He didn't desert him. He called him friend. And after that, when he was brought to trial, talk about a kangaroo court, this was it. Here was the judge that said at least three times, "I find no fault in this man," warned by his wife as well. And yet, when it came right down to it, he crumbled. Jesus kept quiet during it all. He answered only when he was demanded to answer. He accepted the decision of the judge, said, "Take him out and crucify him." His work was not over at that point yet. He was placed in the center cross. On either side was a criminal. I suppose that was the first time that either of these two men had ever seen Jesus. I would guess. I don't know that for sure, but I would guess that that was the case. One of them saw Jesus and recognized Jesus as the Son of God and prayed a very simple prayer. That's a prayer that anyone who is here today who does not know the Lord can pray. And God will hear. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me." The other said selfishly, "If you are the Son of God," sounds just like the way back in the temptation time at the beginning, doesn't it? "If you are the Son of God, get yourself down off this cross and really save me." That's the main thing that he was saying. He was praying for selfish reasons and not for anything else. So Jesus was one who went through those bumps, but he came out victorious. We can also come out victorious, but we cannot be victorious on our own. 1 Corinthians 15:57, I believe it is, tells us that, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's where the victory is, keeping our eyes on the one who is there for us. Now, if you will, turn with me to Psalm 91. I want to look at two different scriptures this morning briefly. Psalm 91 is a very familiar passage. It's for all believers, and certainly for the pastors and the team members that are working here. And I praise God for the way you have been working. Continue to do that. Psalm 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's the only safe place for you to abide. And you know, a shadow doesn't really very often go very far out. But abide in that shadow. Remain close. Remain faithful to Him. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. In Him will I trust." He is my fortress. He is my refuge. "He shall deliver thee under His wings," to be kept faithful under His wing. "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." Those times will come, but remain faithful. "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He will take care of you." And that whole psalm continues to go on. He will protect. He will keep you faithful to Him. Trust in Him. There is much more there that we could look at. Just the last couple of verses yet. Verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. That's a vow that we need to make. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That's the Lord speaking for those who are faithful to him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise the Lord for his direction that he gives to us. Now let's go to another portion of scripture in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13. I want to look at a number of verses there yet. And certainly my shovel didn't go deep enough to dig everything that is in either one of these portions of scripture. So I would encourage you to continue to dig deep into God's Word there and to find what God has for you. Hebrews 13, verse 12, first of all. He says there, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate." Jesus is our example. We are to follow in His steps. We find that He's telling us to do that very clearly. The jewelers, I guess, have made some jewelry that has in it WWJD. I'm not in favor of using a lot of jewelry and that kind of thing, but the thought there is an excellent thought. What would Jesus do? And I've expanded that in my jail ministry a little bit, and I have quite a number of others there. I have WWJD. What would Jesus do? But what will Jesus do? What will He do in the future as well? And I put in WIJD, what is Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing today? We know from Scripture that He is interceding for us. He is standing at the right hand of the Father there for us. What is Jesus doing? What will Jesus do in the future? He says that He is coming for us again to receive us to Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. John 14 tells us that He is making mansions. And there again, "I had not seen nor ear heard what the Lord has prepared for them that love Him." When He talks about mansions, that's a human term that doesn't do justice to what it's going to be like, I'm sure. We're going to have many surprises when we get there that are beyond what we can even imagine. So Jesus is doing those things for us. Okay, then going on from this in verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, hearing his reproach. Now, you have to do a good bit of digging here. Going forth unto him without the camp. Who is without the camp? There's a number of things there that we can think about. The reproach of him that is without there is a reproach that I had to think of here that comes when we are Christians. There is a reproach that we bear. In our land, there isn't really much suffering. I haven't suffered greatly. I've been ostracized in a few cases, and I've been kind of put on the side, and I haven't been included in groups sometimes. But that's okay. It's no problem, because I want to be separate from the world. I want to stand out and to show to them that there is a better way. I use the term buddy sometimes and friend. Those two words are not the same thing. I want to be a friend of sinners. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was not a buddy of sinners. And I don't want to be the buddy of sinners either. I don't want to fall into their pattern. But I want to extend to them that there is hope for them. There is a better way. There is something that God has for them that He wants them to do. To bear His reproach. That can be the reproach that I suffer because I'm a child of God. But, you know, there is something else there that I think of as well. There is a much, much greater reproach of the person who is without the gate. He's not in the kingdom. He's not a believer. I see that reproach over and over again. The devil has deceived so many people into thinking their life is grand and great and everything is going just fine when it isn't. And we've studied that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. You know, the deceit of the devil is there so often. And many come to the end of that and then recognize that there is hope in Christ and only in Christ. And so the reproach that the sinner suffers, we need to bear with him, to sympathize, have compassion, and yet not to be one to be a buddy of his, but to extend that hope that can be there for him, to bear the reproach in this life. And you know, the non-believer's reproach is far beyond this. It's for all eternity, unless he repents and comes to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. But I want to joyfully bear the reproach of Christ. Certainly, the world does hate us. But in our country, this has been very mild. And sometimes that has been to our downfall, that we want to be almost a buddy of the world when we should extend to them hope only in Christ, serving Him. Okay, then in verse 14, for we have no continuing city. Recognize that we're here just for a short time. And then we seek a city to come that will last forever, for all eternity, to praise Him, to thank Him for what He has done for us. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. There's that first one that I gave you in the pot of the pea. Praise. The sacrifice of praise. These are spiritual sacrifices that we need to to give to the Lord. Sacrifice of praise. Not only to the Lord. Let's praise the Lord and be in an attitude of gratitude always, but to each other as well. And notice what else he says there. I stopped a little soon. Sacrifice of praise to God. Get that next word? Continually. Continually. To God and to each other as well. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Jesus said while He was here, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And that's what we need to do, to lift up that holy name of Christ. That's the first spiritual sacrifice that we need to share here. Obviously, obedience and other things as well come in as along that line. Verse 16, another sacrifice, spiritual sacrifice. But to do good, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We need to do good when we have that opportunity to do good to those around us, to share with them, to carry on the work that Christ has given us to do while we're here. And then the third one that he gives here, to communicate, forget not. To communicate. You know, so often we may just kind of assume that they understand or they don't understand or so on. But to communicate, don't forget, he says. Don't forget to communicate. Communicate with others. Listen to what they have to say, but also you share with them. Share with your team members. Share with each other. To bear one another's burdens as the Lord gives direction. Communicate with God. When you communicate with God, you talk to God, but communication is a two-way street. In order to communicate, you need to have God speak to you. He speaks in many different ways, but don't forget that He speaks primarily through the Word. Allow God's Word to be there as communication from God, listening to what He has for you. And then in verse 17, another one of these spiritual sacrifices is obedience and submission. Obedience, obviously, to God, but also, notice what he says here, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Yes, I believe there is an added responsibility to the leadership team. They will have to give an account to God beyond what the other members will have to give as well. But that is no excuse. You know, we each one of us have to give an account of ourselves as well. But they want to do that. And notice what the rest of that verse says. As they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For they watch for your souls, that they may give an account. Have you been one who has brought joy to your team? Or have you brought some grief along the way sometimes? And yes, they can grow by your bumps, but give them some joy as well. Certainly that is what the Lord has for us. And the last verse that I want to look at, verse 18, just the first part of this verse. Pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for your team here. Pray for your church. Pray for the outreach that it may prosper. Certainly your church has grown as far as the building size is concerned. From the old building, I remember meeting over in that smaller sanctuary. It's expanded considerably from that. You have a much better building now, a more beautiful building. How about in your own life. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says there to grow. Grow. Yes, you grow in your structure here in the facility that you have, but he's really much more concerned about your growing in your spiritual life. Have you grown in that way? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory and majesty both now and forever. That's Peter's request. And finally, Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, there was one other verse yet I just thought of. Now, in verse 17, if you still have your Bible open to Hebrews 13, verse 7, he says something there that goes along with verse 17 that we came to. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Remember them. Continue to remember those that have the authority over you, that they may do it with joy. Okay, in the last verse, Hebrews chapter 12, going back to verse 2. And there he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that is my desire for each one of you. Yes, for the leadership team, but also for every believer. Look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, who will lead you to the end, faithful until death. And then when life here is over, you will be able to say with many who have gone before that he has led you in the right way. And it has been a joyful journey. May you continue to be blessed by God as you faithfully serve him wherever you go throughout the world. Wherever it may be, allow God to use you in his kingdom. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Remember the story of Peter yet? When he was out there in the boat with the disciples and Jesus came walking on the water. If that's you, Jesus, tell me to come. Okay, come. Jesus stepped out of the boat, started walking. He walked until he looked at his situation. He looked at his circumstances that he was in. Oh, when he looked this way, instead of looking at Jesus, guess what happened? He started to sink. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Take your eyes off Jesus. You're not going to be any better than Peter. You're going to sink. Peter would have gone to the bottom of that sea had he not reached up and had Jesus not reached down and picked him back up and saved him. That's the message that I have from God's Word today for you too. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. May God bless you as you continue to serve him. Let's stand for a closing prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you again this morning with hearts of gratitude for all that you have done. Lord, would you take this message and make it produce much fruit in the hearts of those who have heard, and into my own heart, Lord, as well. Thank you that you have given your word, that you have given guidelines for us to follow, that you have given your Holy Spirit that will direct us as we are submissive to your leading. Lord, we thank you for salvation through Christ. Help us to keep our eyes always focused upon what has been done for us and what work we have been commissioned to do. Would you bless the leadership here in this church? Would you give them guidance and wisdom and understanding as they face the joyful times and as they face those bumps in the road? Would you help them to always grow in grace according to your will? And Lord, we thank you also that you have provided not only the spiritual food for us today, we ask that you would bless the food that has been prepared for our physical bodies, that we might be able to continue to go on in your service. Thank you for those who have so graciously prepared it. Would you give us strength from it to go on in your kingdom, to glorify you and to praise you until you call us home to be with you forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May God bless you.